Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Chicks Talking Footy with Fiona Newton, Danae Gibson and Beck Dahl. Welcome, ladies.
Hip ho.
Welcome, chicks.
Indeed.
That talk football. It's been a bye round this round, round 13, but never mind, because the off-field antics have been such that the entertainment has made the football a little bit irrelevant.
It's filled the space, hasn't filled, it? That's filled for sure.
Those three games that weren't happening has now been filled by Brad Scott's $30,000 fine. Mm-hmm. North Melbourne's $50,000 fine.
For criticising the umpires and getting it completely wrong.
Yeah, whoopsie daisy, that'll
Chinese
cost you.
Chinese whispers fine.
There goes a house deposit. And, of course, the Eddie Maguire saga has been a seven-day story. And
Well, not even yet. You know, it's actually been really only since Sunday that it became a major story.
Yeah, true.
And yesterday it was the front and back page of both daily newspapers in Melbourne.
And the Age and the Herald Sun. So I don't know how he was going to recover from that. We'll talk about that in our Out of Bounds segment. And, of course, the lovely Brad. So the AFL say they're doing things about women and violence, but some things are happening that's suggesting we've got a bit of a ways to go. So lots to talk about. We've got a three-hour show in 30 minutes, so we'll pack it in
for you. I reckon we can do it.
We can do it. We can do it. We can talk fast. And, of course, we're going to do the highlights of the round, which won't take as long this time, because there was only six games. We've also got a very, very special guest. We are excited. We've been excited about this for weeks.
Yeah.
We've got Peter Searle coming on the show, who is the first ever female to be appointed to a senior coaching position with an AFL club.
So if there's a chick that can talk footy.
There is a chick that can talk footy. She can join our gang.
Yep.
And we're also going to be previewing the next round. But we'll talk about the Community Cup that's happening in Elsternwick Park this Sunday. Always a fun day out.
Yep.
Meat pie and a bit of daggy football.
What's not to love?
What's not to love about all of that? So, big show coming up. We better get to it. Highlights of the round.
Highlights of the last round, Friday night.
Can I interrupt and remind everyone that I'm a docker and that Fee, you are a hawk, and that Beck, you are a crow.
The crow.
Is that a disclaimer? Or
I think it's a nice kind of variation
covering
on a
the
theme.
Southern
Equal
states.
Opportunities.
Yeah. Southern states.
Friday night, North Melbourne and the Hawks.
Yeah, I was at, me and Rachel, who's a fellow Chicks Talking Footy member, were at that game, and we were surrounded by very loud, obnoxious supporters of both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it was a very feisty game.
It was
punch-ons before even the siren started. So yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
What happened there?
I fell asleep at three-quarter time because it was a Friday night.
Sure.
Okay. But there was enough in the first half to keep me interested.
Yeah, okay. So you've stayed – the fact that you got to the third quarter was good compared to the Hawks-Essendon game the previous Friday night.
Correct.
Fee, I seem to recall you were nervous about the game when we talked about sort of tips and things last week. And were you happy with the win? How do you feel?
Well, no, it was an unsatisfying win, I have to say. The only reason we really won is because North Melbourne couldn't kick straight. It was something like 7-19. There was some ridiculous score at one point in the game where – they almost doubled the amount of points that they got to goals, and they literally were missing set shots 30 metres out several times, but they were playing better.
That was a theme for this round. Do you feel like the Hawthorn is still holding its powder dry until finals?
I hope so, because we're not playing our best footy, that's for sure. When we win, sometimes it's just not satisfying. You don't feel like your team's actually played well. So
you don't win flags in June, so nothing to worry about.
And I mean, poor old Lindsay Thomas not getting his free kicks.
I know.
That's a travesty.
I know. He played hard for them.
Yeah.
But,
maybe we'll talk about that a bit later. One of the other few games of the round, Brisbane Lions and the West Coast Eagles.
Bit of a her cares? Or
Next. Yeah.
Next? Well, I'm sure you want to talk about this one, Danae. Free on Port.
Yes. So Fremantle won a home game and their third game on the trot.
What do we call it? The 3-0.
The 3-0 heave-ho.
Won three games in a row.
I think that most would have expected Port to win, and I thought that Fremantle was a sneaky chance, and they indeed played well. It was an interesting contest to watch.
Anytime Port lose, I'm happy. So.
I knew you'd be happy. Yeah. So I checked out the AFL Coaches Association votes, and there was not a Port Adelaide player in the seven players, I think, that got votes, which says quite a bit about how they were judged. It was only a 17-point win to Fremantle, but I think Port lost more than the 4 points.
Yeah,
Port are cooked. They're done.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, they beat Melbourne convincingly in Alice Springs. So
they looked cooked on the weekend. Yeah. Anyway, I'm happy. And also, yeah, no, I'll talk about that later.
And the next one is, as the wonderful guest last week called it, the Battle of the Backyard Pets, the dogs and the cats.
So we thought of you, Beck, and decided it's the Backyard Pet Cup.
Love a cup.
Yep. You do.
I actually thought that was going to be a much closer game than it was.
So like North Melbourne, I think the Bulldogs were 1-9 at halftime.
Yeah.
And
you've got to kick between the sticks to win a game, don't you?
And Geelong were pretty accurate because the last few weeks they've had some...
They've been
challenges.
They've been one of the worst teams in the AFL for
16 goals
accuracy.
Four they kicked, so they might have turned that around a little bit.
Yeah. They probably did some kicking practice some goal kicking at practice.
And then Sunday was a battle of which city serves the best coffee cup, Sydney and Melbourne. Wasn't even really a contest, was it?
Is that a coffee cup cup?
Coffee cup cup.
Coffee cup.
Yeah, I went there.
Long day for you, Beck.
Yeah, it's been a long day for me.
Yeah, Dees didn't score much at all, did they?
Nah.
40 points?
No, and they were right in it.
45 points
for
or something.
A chunk, and then Sydney just blew them away.
Yeah, which, you know, that's what top teams do. Yeah. You've got to be able to play four quarters. Yeah.
And then the late Sunday game, Essendon GWS, which I found myself very interested in.
Yeah, me too. I was texting Moddy because she's
cooking. I thought, hold on. I suddenly am interested, and I thought Essendon was going to get there, but...
Yeah, well, they played well for three quarters. They were actually ahead at three-quarter time.
And going into the middle of the year when people thought they would really start running out of legs, that's a good result.
Yeah.
To push a top-four team is also a good result. And like you say, good teams find a way to win.
Yeah.
So, again, the Giants are... Right. I just wanted Giant Killers as a headline on Monday morning, but it didn't happen.
I just wanted to watch their hair.
You're on Joy 94.9 listening to Chicks Talking Footy, covering all the important issues. We'd love to hear from you. SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
And you can find us on Facebook, Chicks Talking Footy at Joy 949, and like us. That'd be nice.
Well, it's actually just Chicks Talking Footy, so if you the name of the page. So
is it?
You can.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am. I created it. I am the creator of the page.
I might have edited it.
Yeah.
We can I'll keep an eye on them.
Place a bet.
Have a moment there.
We've got an arm wrestle going on. No, not really. Now, out of bounds segment. So can we do just
how
to
long
talk
have we
about,
got?
What's, yeah, we could talk about this. This could be the whole show, couldn't it?
Yeah.
But should we talk about Brad Scott first or Eddie McGuire first?
Oh, that's
let's talk about Friday night football, what happened on Friday night, which was Hawthorn and North Melbourne.
Yes.
And North Melbourne's head coach press conference straight after the game was really on the front foot. And Brad Scott said, one of my players said that the umpire said on the field that we don't give kicks to Lindsay Thomas from North Melbourne because he's a ducker. So Scott went into the room and told the whole world that. Turned out that wasn't right. He'd heard the message had got waylaid, and he came out on Saturday morning and made a full apology.
It reminded me a little bit of being in grade two, though. Like, she said, you said, that he said, that she said, that I said, that you said, the umpires don't give Lindsay Thomas free kicks.
Yeah.
You know.
I have two questions. One, how hot-headed can you be? And where was the media manager? If someone said to me during the week, well, you know, Brad Scott shouldn't need a media manager to say, hey, don't say that. But clearly he does.
Yeah.
You need to just go in with a calm head.
Although Bag's not being the person to tell Brad Scott to pull his head in.
Well, and that might be a bigger question.
Mm.
And two, you cannot question the integrity of your match officials.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's all over Red
Rover. Well, you're accusing them of corruption. But yeah. We love what Titus O'Reilly said in his blog today. What did he say, Becky?
He said it was about the crowdfunding campaign to pay the fine for him. And I want to get it right because it's quite
so
funny.
So the fine is $30,000 and for Brad Scott as the coach, and the club has also been fined $50,000.
So a supporter got the initiative going to try and crowdfund to pay for their fines.
And Titus O'Reilly's comment was there's been 123 donations. That means there's 6 North Melbourne supporters who still haven't even donated.
Which we know.
I think he's being generous.
Exactly. Well, they've raised $2,500, I think, so
bless
far.
Him. 2,820.
Okay, so only another, 77,000 to go. Yeah.
And the other thing is that the amount of the fine is the same amount that that Bomber Thompson was fined for his involvement in what's gone on in Essendon in the last few years.
And strange that Eddie got no fine, considering the hurrah that happened with that.
That's not bringing the game into disrepute.
No, not at all. And he's not a president of a football club.
No. So the board of Collingwood Football Club have come out and said that they're happy with everything that's gone on.
Yeah, and Holden threatened, well, they're not threatened, but were iffy about their sponsorship with Collingwood, depending on the reputation that it's now gained. But they've decided to stay with Collingwood as well.
So it's an interesting story, Fee, that it's taken from Monday of the Queen's birthday, of when the event happened on Triple M's programming until Sunday night, Saturday night when I first heard the audio, some alternate media, our guest
last week,
Nicole Hayes, as part of the Outer Sanctum, and their podcast on Friday, it generated a story that carried on until this week.
Yeah. So well done to the girls from the Outer Sanctum. We'll certainly be interested in what happens next. But in just a moment, we're going to be talking to our very special guest, Peter Searle, the first ever female to be appointed to a senior coaching position at the St Kilda Football Club. We'll talk to her in a moment on Chicks Talking Footy, Joy 94.9.
You've kicked a goal on Chicks Talking Footy with Fiona and Danae.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
St Kilda Football Club development coach Peter Searle is the, I think, role model for women in the AFL. She was the first woman to be appointed to a senior coaching position in the AFL at the Saints. She made history as the first female VFL assistant coach, working with head coach Gary Ayres at Port Melbourne. She has 7, count them, 7 state Guernseys, 3 All-Australian honours, led the VWFL Deb and Falcons through 5 consecutive premierships and has taken up coaching roles at the TAC Cup and Women's National Championships. So with not much else on, she's going to have a chat to us. So welcome to Chicks Talking Footy, Peter.
Thank you and good evening.
We've got so many questions we want to ask you, but I'm going to start with the first one. What did footy mean to you as a young girl growing up?
For me, I was an introvert and, I was quite shy and not very confident. So footy was something that I could do and could do reasonably well. So it was like a niche or a space for me to actually, to actually grow and develop as a person.
Did you ever play for Auskick?
No. There was no Auskick back in those days.
No, no. Going back a long time ago.
Show my age there, but, certainly that wasn't around. In fact, footy for girls wasn't really a viable option when I was growing up. I had to, fight my dad for a couple of years, I think, for him to finally let me play in a team. I think it was midgets, under 9. So I played 1 year. And then mum and dad had to separate, and that was the end of my footy career. I never found footy for women until I was 20 after that. So,
it certainly wasn't the end of your career.
No. But look, it's great, isn't it? The opportunities that the kids have today, from such a young age all the way through now.
I was hoping that St Kilda was granted an initial licence in the National Women's League so that we could see you as head coach.
Yeah.
Are you optimistic about the Saints having a team in the comp soon?
Very optimistic that, if they're going to give us or issue licences in 2018, I think that certainly we'll be one of those clubs. I was probably pretty shattered too, I guess, that the Saints didn't get a side. And not so much, for the fact that I was going to be a head coach, but for the fact that there was 25 girls out there that were going to run around in Saints again. Yeah. And they would have had a great experience. You know, they would have been provided an opportunity to really grow as footballers, to grow as people. And, you know, down there, without a doubt, they would have had a real sense of belonging. So, you know, I'm probably more disappointed that that's not going to happen.
Well, not going to happen next year anyway. But I know there was a big push with Team Angelica. She was running around the neighbourhood trying to recruit people into the team. So,
yeah, we've certainly got a lot of following and a lot of support from the Bayside community. So, you know, and it's great to have that support. And, yeah, hopefully within 2018 they can jump on board.
Yeah, and what involvement will you have in the Women's League in general, do you think?
Possibly not a lot right now. I guess as a result of what's happened in terms of the licences. So, I'll continue to do my role at the St Kilda Footy Club in terms of, being an assistant coach in the forward line. But in terms of looking to, get a team up ready for 2018, there's a lot of work to be done in that space within our club, and there's a lot of work to be done with our local communities and the VFL sides within our communities, meaning
Great.
Sort of Sharks and and the Seaford Tigers. So, we'll certainly be doing a lot of work with those two clubs.
Peter, when was it that you decided that you wanted to get into coaching?
Yeah, so I'm a phys ed teacher by trade, and when you're teaching PE, you coach a lot of teams. And there was this one particular moment I was coaching this hockey girls side, and I had this girl in my team, and she wasn't the greatest player going around, and I just gave a little instruction. I said, if you just stand at this certain spot here, when the ball comes off the goalie's pads, you can just pop it in the goal. And, she listened and she did it. And just the joy that she had for scoring a goal, and I was on the sidelines, clearly, I was just, straight away I just felt this feeling that I hadn't felt when I was playing any games myself. And I thought, right at that point I knew that, I wanted to coach because, helping someone else achieve something special was really important.
Do you still get those moments now coaching in the AFL?
Oh, absolutely. You know, whenever you go to the game, it's like I've got two kids, and instead of having two kids, it's like watching 22 kids.
Really big kids.
You connect with them and you really feel for them, and you want them to do well, and when they do well, you're really excited for them, and when something doesn't go their way, you're equally devastated for them. So you certainly do get ride the emotional roller coaster with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And have you ever felt any more pressure, I suppose, as a female in the AFL to perform at a higher level?
Yeah, look, it certainly is. I think I'm probably heavily judged. Every time you go out and, VFL, everyone gets to come on the ground and listen to what you have to say. And, so you always, see quite a few people around, whatever it is that you have to say. There's people there that'll be... You just know there's people there will be thinking, what's she got to say? Does she know what she's talking about? all those type of things. But, at the end of the day, I'm probably my biggest critic, and I'm very self-aware. So, when you're doing okay and when something needs to be done better. So, as long as you pay attention to yourself, I think that's the main thing.
Yeah, well, look, we certainly appreciate the role model you've been to women in the sport, and we've been very excited to talk to you tonight. But
I was wondering how important it is to be a part of a network of coaches in the young girls and women's leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it'd be interesting to see with these clubs and the licences that, they've gone to Collingwood, Carlton, Bulldogs and Melbourne, who will be coaching these teams, and, whether they'll be females or whether they'll be males. I would hope that, for the majority that they're actually females, so there's actually more viable career pathways rather than, let's just put a guy in there because that's what guys do.
So you're a level 3 accredited coach, is that right, Peter?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
So what sort of level accreditation would be needed to handle those teams?
I would say probably a level 2 or level 3.
Yeah.
Most coaches in the AFL have to be a level 2, and then they look to develop you into a level three as quickly as possible once you get into a club. So they'll definitely, I would say, a minimum of a level two, possibly a level three. But hopefully down the track, what will happen is that it will turn the tables, and hopefully there'll be a lot more females, coaching these teams. And then moving into the men's space as well with the opportunity there, because, if we've got head male coaches coaching female teams, why can't we have head female coaches?
That'd be great. We're looking forward
Absolutely.
To the day.
Right behind you, Peter.
Yeah. we're cheering you on. Now, just as a last point, you're doing a holiday program we read on the interwebs today. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so I've actually got a couple of things I do outside the club. So I've started, there's been a couple of us get together, and we've started a bit of a high-performance step-ahead coaching clinics, and one of them, the one that I'm involved in, is clearly just for girls. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, and we run it throughout the term on a Friday night, and we're also running it for over the school holidays on a Wednesday and a Thursday at Trevor Bar.
Fabulous.
So it's basically, and I have a range of girls there. I have, like a bunch of probably 8-9-year-old girls there.
I wish you were around when I was 8 or 9.
I was going to say, what if I'm like a really short 35-year-old? Can I come?
Well, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if you see me, but I'm pretty short too. So, you don't have to be tall to have a presence, I say.
That's for sure.
Now, we're going to have to wrap it up now, Peter, but we're really thankful for you coming on the show. It's been great chatting to you, and thank you for what you're doing in the AFL world. We're just wondering if we can get you quickly to say something as we part ways. We're wondering if we can get you to say, I'm Peter Searle, Development Coach of the Saints Football Club. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. Can you say that for us?
I have to say a bit there, isn't it?
Yeah.
All righty, I'll give it a crack. Am I
yeah,
doing it?
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
Okay. I'm Peter Searle, Development Coach at St Kilda Football Club, talking football on Joy 94.9.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Peter.
All righty.
We'll be watching things as they progress with everything that you're doing. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Peter.
Bye.
Bye.
In just a moment, we are going to be talking about the Community Cup coming up at Elsternwick Park on Sunday afternoon, and we'll be reviewing Round 14 on Chicks Talking Footy at 94.9. Joy 94.9.
You've kicked a goal on Chicks Talking Footy with Fiona and Danae. You've kicked a goal on Chicks Talking Footy with Fiona and Danae.
Oh, we've had a couple of messages come in on through the message bank. One is from Marky Mark. He says, great shows, ladies. Marky Mark.
Thanks, Marky Mark.
Yeah, simple but effective.
And the funky bunch.
And we had a message from Betty as well. She's just saying hello. Go doggies.
Yeah.
Great to hear from you, Betty, our number one fan, I think.
I think so. I think so. Although Beck's mum might. Yeah. She's listening.
Hi, Mum.
Hello.
I know. She's always Ann Dahl.
Ann Dahl.
Hi, Ann Dahl.
Yep. She likes the page.
Hi, Dahls.
Yep. Dahls on
I can say hi, Dahls, to your whole family.
Can.
Yeah.
So thanks very much to Peter Searle from the St Kilda Football Club for coming on air and talking footy with us.
Yes, and we've got a traditional football event coming up this Sunday, the Community Cup.
Much loved.
And much loved. It's a great day of a little bit of beer drinking, a little bit of classic suburban football where people are still tuning the horns of their car every time someone kicks a goal.
Music.
Triple R and PBS sponsor the event. So we've got the Megahertz, they're made up of musicians and members of bands. And then the Rock...
Well, the Megahertz are the radio people.
Oh, Megahertz are the radio, Triple R and PBS. And then your Rock Dogs are musicians and you know, people like Dan Sultan and Tim Rogers and people like that that are playing. And they're all terrible at football. So it's
gates
quite,
open
quite entertaining.
11:45 and funds raised support sport and art opportunities for disadvantaged Australians. So get along if you can. It's a hoot.
Yes.
All right. Are we heading towards round?
Round 14.
Speed round.
Okay.
What's happening? We've only got a few games, so it won't take us long.
Tomorrow night, Thursday night, we're back. Crows and the Roos.
Thursday night footy.
Thursday night, past my bedtime on a school night.
Cool.
But you'll probably stay up.
But
anyway.
I'll stay up. Yeah. Yes, I'll be in my jammies.
We'll let you stay up.
Could be the game of the round.
Oh, we'll win.
You will.
They are financially decimated. This is the time to get
them. Oh, they are. They're $80,000 short this week. Except for their, well, they've got $2,500 in the credit
fund.
Bless
them. All right, Friday.
Friday.
Collingwood and Freo. What do you think today?
I'm going. Might be Pav's last game in Melbourne. Heap hope.
Yeah. Bless. Good Adelaide boy.
Yeah. Sad day.
Sad day. Richmond and the Lions.
A bit boring.
Next. Sad day. GWS and Carlton. Again.
Yeah. I think it's in Sydney. So at their oval. So I think that Giants will have a good chance of winning.
Saturday night, St Kilda and Geelong. I'm going to that game. I think the Cats will win that easy.
Yeah, that could be an interesting weekend of football. Yeah,
yep. And Hawks are playing the Saints. Now, it's unfortunate because...
No, you're playing the Gold Coast.
Oh, sorry, Gold Coast. It started with S.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're playing the Suns, but it's on at the same time as the Community Cup. So I'm, well, kind of 3:20 in the afternoon. So I'm a little bit torn, but I'm sure I'll still be watching somewhere.
Well, it's
maybe near the Alstonewick Oval.
Yeah, maybe. It's been a fun week, a busy week.
A busy week in the football.
I'd like to say it's been a big week in football, but
you won't.
I won't.
Okay.
Well, you just did. It has been a big week in football. It's certainly been not uninteresting in any way. We'll see if the football field can be more interesting than what's happening off field in round 14. But we're going to hand over to the guys from Hide and Seek. They've got a bit more adults-only entertainment. You've been listening to Chicks Talking Footy. Make sure you like our Facebook page. We'll see you next week.
Heave ho.
Enjoy 94.9 at 8:30.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.